Amen. Let's lift this one up and say, praise the Lord. And double it up and say, hallelujah. There you go. So turn around and welcome someone really quick. Just turn around and say, you're so glad to see him. All right, if you can do it, if you do it really quick, just turn around and just to say thank you for the sound guys and the audio guys. So thank you guys. Yep. All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. All right. So we're going to be in the book of Jonah. We are in part two of a 4-piece series. And so we found out that Jonah was given a task to do by God, to go to a place called Nineveh and share the gospel there, tell them it's time to repent from their ways. But Jonah chose to do this something different and rebel against God. So he is en route and he has ended up, as we found out at the very end of it, it says, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. So we're going to pick it up from there. So today I want to share with you that sometimes we as people, we as Christians, can find ourselves in pretty hard places. But sometimes those hard places isn't because we say, oh, it's the devil put me in the spot. Sometimes we put ourselves in the spot. And sometimes God puts us in the spot when we are not obeying Him. How many of y'all know what it feels like when God puts His discipline down? I got a double hand here. All right. It is hard, yeah. There we go. We got swinging arms. So we know what that feels like, and we learn those lessons through that, and we're going to talk about that today. So I just want to remind you, this is all appointed by God. What we're getting ready to read is all appointed by God. It's all hardship, but it's for a purpose. There's a reason for it. And even if the reason is that we disobeyed God, God will find His way, and He will make a way. But this is all appointed by Him. Father, Lord, today, unlock our hearts, open our doors of our hearts, so we may take in what You'd have for us today. Give us spiritual understanding of Your Word today. Let us see what You want us to see. For our own eyes will always want to see what we want to see. But today, give us eyes to see what Your Spirit wants us to see when these verses we learn and educates us, but also how we can apply them to ourselves. In Christ's name, amen. So we are in chapter 2. Each one of these series is a chapter piece. It's very makes it very easy. Jonah is laid out very easy for preaching and teaching. And so we are in chapter 2. What we find out again is Jonah had disobeyed God, went another direction, and when God lays out a paved road for you to follow, He wants you to follow it. But when we choose not to follow it, He doesn't give up. He will intervene in a way that you don't expect, in a way and a time that you don't think. And none of it is up to us. It is when God chooses, He does it, and He will put the hammer down. And when He puts the hammer down and He does it, it's going to be painful and it's going to be hard. I want to do something just a little different here in this piece. I want to read to you what it would sound like just for a lost person in these scriptures, okay? Verse three, you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me. Verse five, the water engulfed me up to my neck, and the watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth's gates shut behind me forever. There is no hope in any of that. That's what it would sound like for a lost person. But we're not talking about a lost person today. We're talking about a man who knows God. So God's going to be part of it. So here's what we're looking at. He says this in verse 1. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. Wow. Jonah prayed from the belly of the fish. Without God, that's what it would sound like. But with God, we find out now that we are different than the lost. And we can call upon the name of the Lord. We can call upon the name of the Lord in whatever situation that we're in. For redemption, really, for redemption, God must be a part of the story. Amen? For forgiveness, God must be part of the story. And for deliverance, God must be part of the story. And for hope, God must be part of the story. And the need for a second chance, God must be part of the story. Whose story? Your story. And my story. And of course, Jonah's story. And so we see here now that he says that Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. There is your first hope. He knows God and he is praying to God. Whether he is walking with the will of the Lord or he's walking away from the Lord will hear his children. And so we see here that Jonah is not really walking in the way of the Lord. He's found himself in a place where now he cannot run. He is locked up in this place in the stomach of a fish. And then as we read this, I want to remind you that he's already lived this, and he goes and he writes this. We can see this. He writes this after all this happens. So think about that. He says in verse 2, I called to the Lord in my distress. And he answered me, for I cried out for help from the deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice. Here he is. He is praying from a place where there is no place to run and there is no place to hide. There is no place to go. Sometimes God will allow you to get to a place where you can't run anymore and where you can't hide anymore. And that's exactly where God wants you to be. Because other than that, you wouldn't pay attention to him. You wouldn't listen to him. You wouldn't seek him out. But in those places where everything seems to be contained, I can't move. You know, sometimes, I don't try to pick on my boys when they're growing up, but there was one, I won't tell you who it is, it was just get so feisty that I have to get him, and I had to just grab his arms and then let him just throw his little thing. And I say, you done yet? You still fine? You done yet? I got all day, buddy. You done yet? And then he'd just finally break. All right, let him down. Now, let's talk about what happened. God does that all the time. He gives us big bear hugs, he holds us up, he says, are you done yet? Are you done? Because God says, I got all day. I got all day. And we'll fight God until he has to break us because he wants to use us. And there's no place for us to be in there when we are trying to do God's stuff our way. And so here we see here, he says, I call to the Lord in my distress. You know what? In my distress, in my moments where it's hardships, whether it's something I cause or something that's part of life or just something happens, I'm going to call on the Lord in my distress, and I know you do too. Then God's going to hear it, and he does it. And he says, and he answered me. We got to remember that God answers prayer. I think some of us forget that God answers prayer. I think we think that God wants to hear us pray, but he doesn't answer. Listen, I'm not going to pray. When you pray, expect God to answer. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. And believe me, God has a plan and he answers our prayers. But he talks about this piece here. He says, I cried out for help. And he says, I was deep in Sheol. That place is a place of just not a good place. It is a place that they would say that this is where the spirits and the souls are, the departed spirits. It's the place where the spirits would be. It's a place for the dead, and I'm not going to go deep far into it, but you'd have Abraham's bosom over here, which would be the place where it was good, and then you'd have this place over here that would be torment and hell and all that. And so he says, hey, I was in this place, and he said, but you heard my voice. And literally he is in the stomach of a well, but it failed, and we're going to talk, it's going to describe a little bit what that feeling was like. Verse 3, he says, you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. And the current overcame me, and all your breakers and your billows swept over me. What he's doing here is Jonah is saying, listen, you, Lord, you are the one that put me in this place. But he understands and knows why. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the sea. And here it is, this current that's around me, talking about the power of God to supply that great fish, to allow him to live in the stomach of this whale, of this, we call it a whale fish. To live inside that fish, and everything came over him. The current, he couldn't swim away. He couldn't get away. And he's talking about those things there, and all your breakers, And the billows swept over me. Anybody here at a moment in your life where you felt like you were going to drown? And there's a feeling of just when you're out there, you jumped in too deep of water when you were young, and you were drinking all kinds. You couldn't get above water, and maybe somebody came along and kind of put you up and got you on the feet where you can touch the sand, or maybe you made your way dog paddling over, but you just took inside. It just felt like you were drowning. Or maybe you're the person that doesn't like to speak in front of a crowd, and you say, that feels more like drowning to me. But to be in water, and in the military, they would give you a test where they would tell you to jump in the water. And the day that I had to do it, they had to break the ice before we can jump in the pool. So in Germany, it was in February, and we didn't think we were going to do the training in it, but they had went ahead and broke the ice. I'm like, I just couldn't believe they did that, but they did that, and they broke the ice, and you had to jump in, and you had to jump in there with all your military uniform, and then you had to make a life preserver out of it. And then they would tell you to jump in with an 80-pound rucksack, or they would tell you to jump in with an 80-pound rucksack and your weapons and your helmets and all that. And know what it feels like to feel like you're drowning, but figure out how to work under pressure and how to do what you can do. But here it says, no matter what he did, all the breakers and all the waves came up over Jonah, and there's nothing he could do about it. He could not fight the power of God. And the scripture said, it all swept over me. Basically, Jonah was in the hands of God. His whole life was in the hands of God. And he felt like he was going to die. But verse 4 says, but I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. Only a believer could say something like that. Although everything is looking bad and everything is bad, I've been banished from your sight. He says, oh, he is a prophet, and he prophesies, yet I will once again look toward your holy temple. I want to remind you, when we read this whole thing, we think that this whole thing is about Jonah and everything. But there, God still had his initial plan. God's plan was this. I want you to go to Nineveh. God has a heart for saved people. He does. But God also has a heart for lost people. And in lost people, this whole story is still all about getting to Nineveh. And because Jonah had disrupted and went a different route, it's taken him a different route to get back to where he needs to be. And the route that he needs to go right now is to not Nineveh to get their heart right, but to get his own heart right with God. So God has taken this moment to get his heart right so that he can get out there and help Nineveh get their heart right and their life right and their city right. And so he said, I will once again do it. But he says this in verse 5, the water engulfed me up to the neck, feeling like he's drowning. And he says, the watery depths overcame me, and seaweed wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains, and the earth's gates shut behind me forever. Here he says this. He says, I was engulfed up to my neck. He is up to here with water, and it overcame me, and seaweed wrapped around my neck. Now I know some of you, even if you just go to a lake, and you get out there, and your feet touch something you can't see, and it's seaweed, you just get all crazy, right? You're like, oh, right? Could you imagine it? Just real seaweed around your whole body, wrapped around, engulfing you almost like a coffin. This is death. This is like a slow, feeling like a slow death, terrified. It's dark. It's wet. It's cold. It's seaweed. It's all the things that you have no control over, and everything is going on. And sometimes in life, we feel that too, don't we? We got the bills, but I don't know if I can pay the electric bill or the gas bill. Or do we get braces for the kid, or do we fix the car because I got to go to work? Do I go to the doctor or just suck it up and go to work because I don't get paid if I miss work? We have all kinds of things that happen to us, and sometimes we're like, God, where are you? Where are you? And that's exactly what God is saying sometimes to us. Where are you? Where are you? I thought you were supposed to be on the road to Nineveh. If God can control nature, the fish and the ocean and all that's going on, and Jonah, Let me just remind us today, God never stresses out. God never stresses out. God has no anxiety. He says, I sink to the foundations of the mountains. I'm just going lower and lower and lower. And the earth gates shut behind me forever. I'm done. I'm not going to make it. But then he says, then you raise my life from the pit, Lord my God. It's funny what it takes for us to pay attention to what God is doing in our life. It's something when we think, wow, why did it take so long for me to turn around and get my life right back with God? Sometimes we look and we say, why doesn't my son come back to the Lord? Why are they living out there in the way they're living? Or why isn't this person doing what they're doing? Don't they see all the things that they're causing in their life? All these problems that they're causing in their life? Sometimes God is allowing these things to happen to get us to the place where the seaweed is not enough for some. The sinking into the depths sometimes is not enough for others. Being engulfed by a fish sometimes is not enough for some. Losing a job is not enough for some. Losing a house is not enough for some. Losing this, losing that, sometimes it's not enough. And so the seaweed continues because we are stubborn human beings. And Christians can be stubborn, some of the most stubbornest people. We can be some of the most hard-headed people to walk in on the face of the earth, and we think it's always the lost. Sometimes the saved are just so stubborn. Because we know. Sometimes we just know. But even if we know, sometimes we won't do the right thing when we know the right thing to do. We'll continue to live in the sin. We'll continue to do what we're not supposed to. Until we get to the point where sometimes it will feel, until it feels like the earth gates are shutting in. And when the person says, I've had enough. I can't do this no more. God, oh God, where are you? God will be there. And then he said, then you raise my life from the pit, Lord my God. He says in verse 7, as my life was fading away, he said, I remember the Lord. I remember the Lord. And my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. The Holy Spirit will remind you again when you start calling up on the name of the Lord. He'll remind you who he is and he'll remind you who you are. That God is sitting on his throne, and he rules like he always has before you were even born. God was doing life with other people. The problems that you face are nothing new under the sun. People have been doing the same things. People have been committing adultery all the way back when. People have been cheating all the way back then. People have been lying all the way back then. People have been stealing all the way back then. People have been running from God all the way back then. People have been blaspheming God all the way back then. But I want to remind you also, God's been redeeming people all the way back then. That's the power of God. It's the love of God. God doesn't want us to be in people to be in the belly of a fish. He doesn't want people to be in the belly of turmoil and heartache and separation and dark places and disobedience to God. He wants his family close, following his ways and his wills. But Jonah is acknowledging that my life was fading away, but I remember the Lord. Then he says this, those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love. He's saying all those who in this place of darkness and separation and pain and sufferings, they cherish and worship these idols and gods that are not real at all. But he says, but as for me, I will sacrifice to you, God. I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. He says, I will sacrifice to you, knowing he's going to get out. He says, I will sacrifice to you. I'm going to get my life right. Sometimes, here's what I like about I will sacrifice to you. He says this, It's not just, Lord, forgive me, but here I'm going to put something, I'm going to put work and effort into it a little bit. Not that I need to work for the forgiveness, but I need to also, when you do something for God because you messed up and you call and you seek His forgiveness and He forgives you. Sometimes if you put something else into it, not that you need that for forgiveness, but it reminds you of the awesome forgiveness of God, but also reminds you to spend time in it and you lamentate on what you've done before God that wasn't good. If we spend a little time on how our hearts are broken because we've broken God's heart on how we're living and how we did and what caused us to get to that place where God had to chastise us and discipline us, we spend a little bit of time in that. It'll help us remember and remind us not to do that again. But He also says, not only will I sacrifice to you, but I will do it with a voice of thanksgiving, thanking God. And when you go through all that punishment moment, that chastising discipline moment, I'm telling you, it is a moment where when you get out of it, it's not long, and you begin to thank God for it, for Him disciplining you to get you right back where you need to be. That's a second chance. It's not that you get a free pass or you get just forgiven. It's that you are reminded not to repeat what you just did, but also to give God thanks for what He has allowed you to go through. And it's hard sometimes because we don't like the feeling of it. We don't like the process of it. We don't like the seaweed part of it. We don't like the things that wrap around us and tighten us. We feel sometimes like when we have this, I want to live the way that I want to live. And we go out and we feel like that's freedom. But let me tell you, sin constricts. When God wants us to be free, people think that sin is freedom and I can go out and live the way that I want. But it actually wraps around you and constricts you. But with the Lord, you're free and free indeed. But we keep getting pulled. What is He thinking inside this stomach of the well? He was thinking of the moment when God called him. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach against it. What they're doing is evil. And he said, I'm not doing that. And he takes off. And he's replaying that over and over and over inside that stomach of that well. He's thinking about being on that ship. When everybody else's lives was in danger. He put everybody's life in danger. He's thinking about that over and over and over. And thinking about, oh man, they threw me off. And I ended up in this place. The stomach of a fish. And you might say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because you and I do the same thing. We relive over and over and over and over until we get right with God. Amen? That's where your amen is for yourself. So he says, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. And then he says, I will fulfill what I have vowed. What? Some of y'all in our class today about vows. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Now you remember, this is a prophet, preaching prophet. God has called him, and if he's a preaching prophet, he's made some vows. He's made vows to follow God. With no exceptions. He's made vows to fulfill the Lord's will. With no exceptions. He's made a vow to say whatever God has put in him to say, to speak to the people. With no exceptions. He's vowed to live a holy life. With no exceptions. To be faithful. To be obedient. And to go. When God says go, to stop when God says stop, to leave when God says leave, and here This vow. He says, I will have vowed. I will fulfill what I have vowed. And God heard those vows back in the day. You may break a vow. If it's a biblical vow, God will hold you to it. I made a vow to follow the Lord. Amen. To follow this calling I didn't choose. I can't do anything else. Because if I do, I'll find myself in this same situation. And you have made your own vows to God. God remembers the vows that you have made. He wants you to keep those vows. God will not honor unbiblical vows. For God is not of sin. A vow we make that is not biblical is not a blessed vow. But he says, I will fulfill what I have vowed. I will complete what you have called me to do. What he is saying, he's saying, I will fulfill this piece of Nineveh. There's other scriptures in the Kings where he was mentioned in some other things. But here, and he was faithful there. But this is the moment. This is where, this is so many times when men and men of God would, we see it isn't how you just start. It's how you start, how you do, and how you complete, and how you finish your walk with God. We see it all the time, and we see it all the time. Phil and I get these pieces all the time where we see that men are falling, whether it's marital affair, or it's embezzlement, or it's some type of sexual sin. And there is no age limit on any of it. It's sad to see that men will serve God for 20, 30, 40 years, and at the very end, they fail. They break their vows before God. And they end up in situations where they don't want to be, and God disciplines and takes all. It's not about how you just start. It's not how you're doing. It's about how you finish. It's all very important. And Jonah is getting a second chance. This wasn't about embezzlement. This wasn't a sexual thing. This was him. And he vowed to God. He said he was going to follow and obey God to everything God said that he told and called him to do. And he chose to go a different route. And God will hunt him down and said, listen, because here it is. When you come to Jesus, you no longer are saying, I want to do life my way. What you're saying is, I am a sinner. I need Christ in my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe all that God has done. I believe that God's word is true. That I am a sinner. I fall short of the glory of God. I need a Savior. I found out that Savior is Jesus Christ. And choosing Jesus Christ, I choose Him. I'm letting go of my life, not just my sins, my old life. I'm leaving my life. I'm letting go of it, and I'm giving my life to Him. This is what Jonah did. He gave his life to God, following in as a prophet. And as he's doing that, not just as he's a believer, but also he had the extra piece of a prophet and preaching. And so here's the deal. He has chosen to run. And now he has found himself here, and he's at his place now that he has repenting, getting his life right with God. And he says, I will fulfill what I have vowed. Three things. I'm going to sacrifice to God. I'm going to have a thanksgiving. I'm going to thank the Lord for it. And I'm going to finish what God started with me. That is an awesome second chance. Amen. And what? Oh, yes. And then what happens? And he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. That's a hallelujah there. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What? Yes. Verse 17, verse chapter 1. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. The end of chapter 2. Then the Lord commanded the fish to vomit out Jonah. What you do in the middle, what you do between the bookends is so important. And there's people that are living in the bookends. God's got a way for them to get out. He's used them. They've chosen a different route and they're still in the stomach of the whale. They're still in their frustrations. They're still in their agony and suffering. How long does it have to be until we get ourselves right with God? God never has to get right with us. Praise the Lord for that, right? One side is always right. One side is always right, and that is God. Amen? So if that one side is always right, there's got to be the other side's not, oh, that's my side. I got to work on my side. And I got to work on my side and know that I can't do life by myself. I don't want to do life by myself. I want to do life with Jesus. Jesus knows about life. And so here he is. He's saying this. He said, listen, fish, it's time for you to get up there and you're going to get sick and you're going to vomit out my man because there's something very important. One of the most important people on the face of the earth at this moment was right here. And I'm telling you what, when he got up on that shore, he wasn't smelling too hot. Yeah. And again, as this fish vomited him out, this is still appointed by God. All this is appointed by God. Because what was this story about? Is it really about Jonah? No, Jonah is the guy. It is about Nineveh. God's love for these sinners. And they're waiting. They don't even know it. They're waiting. But God has to do some business first. My man ain't up for the task. Sometimes the church looks around and says, where's this leader? We're looking for leaders. We're looking for this or that. And sometimes God says, they ain't up for the task. I'm still doing some work on them. Sometimes it's a church. Sometimes the church, God's like, oh, yep, I got this church. I want them to do this. But right now they're not up for the task. God's not stressing. God's got that church in a lock. It don't matter what program they start. It doesn't matter what they add. It doesn't matter how much paint they put on the church or add whatever this or that. And even if they got 300, 400 more people, God can still hold a church just like this and says, are you done? Are you done yet? I can be here all day. And for him, it was 3 days and 3 nights to get his head right and his heart right. God's going to hold you. I know what that construct. God's going to hold you. And I'm telling you what, my son can put a kick in, boy. I never stopped loving him. I was doing it because he needed it. I was doing it because I cared for him. I was doing it for it was bettering him. And then you know what? Initially down the road, we didn't do that anymore. But sometimes God has to do it. Three days and three nights. Then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And the very next verse says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up! In chapter 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because the evil has come up before me. God didn't change the task. God didn't change the plan or the mission. Sometimes we want to alter it. God's got a plan or a mission. It's going to happen with or without you. But God preferred to do it with you. Sometimes he's going to say, we're doing it. You're the guy. You're the girl. You're the woman. You're doing this. And I can be here all day. I can be here all night. Thank God for a redeeming God. Amen. Thank God for second chances. Thank God that he gives us opportunities to get it right. But also, thank God for those hardships. Amen. Thank God for those times when we can't move and he holds us tight. We can fight him all day and all night. We fight him all week. You can find him all month. We can find him all year, and he's still holding on, saying, you're not ready. You haven't broke yet. And unfortunately, we can fight him, and he can hold us all year, and another year, and another year, and another year, and another year. And it may be just because mom and dad way over here in right field and grandma way over in left field has been praying for 10 years, and God hears those prayers, and his mercy comes on him, and they repent. Don't stop praying for the Jonas in your life. If you're living in Jonah's world right now, I don't even have to say anything. You know. If you know a Jonah in your life, the worst thing you can do sometimes is just keep chastising him. God's got him in a pretty good hammer. He's pretty good at it. What God wants is people to have mercy and some compassion and pray for them. Not to enable him, but to pray for them. Amen? Father, thank you for an opportunity this morning just to preach your word. But in a word, Lord, your spirit speaks in ways that a man doesn't know. And today, Lord, we've asked that the hearts of the people here today, that you would open the door. I pray your spirit has did a work in us today in the only way that you can do. So I pray, Father, for now that at this moment, that this altar be open, that your will may be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.